May it please the court, counsel. Good afternoon. My name is Ingrid DeFranco. My attorney registration number is 31206, and I represent Edward and Stephen Klein, the appellants in this matter. As the court is aware, we've appealed from a district court's decision not to require the district attorney in Larimer County to prosecute. And in the course of this appeal, it's become clear that there's very little direction to the district courts on precisely what the standard of review for the district court looks like. We'd submit that that standard is deferential, but to steal a phrase from Judge Posner, not abject. And that what happened in this case is either an entire failure to exercise discretion or an abject review. Basically, as the court is aware, the Klens alleged to the district attorney that they had been the victims of two separate incidents, one of which they aren't sure when it happened. That was the replacement of an original building permit application with an entirely different one that was created by person or persons unknown to them at that time, and on which changes were made by employees of the building department. The second incident involved a trespass onto their property by building department officials at the behest of office officials of the city of Loveland. When the Klens met with the district attorney, they laid out the facts, and the district attorney agreed to investigate, and 7 months later had done nothing. So they filed the petition to require prosecution, together with a fairly lengthy affidavit, some 63 paragraphs, and a number of exhibits. Among those exhibits was the opinion of a forensic document examiner who had looked at the original building permit application and the substituted. She opined that Edward Klein had nothing to do with the creation of the second one based on the handwriting of the two samples.
Counsel?
Yes.
It's unclear from the record. Is Exhibit 13 the exhibit that she looked at as purportedly the original?
That is correct. 14 then would have been the substituted.
And 13 was not signed, is that right?
Yes, it is signed.
The copy that's in the record is not signed. There's no sign or date.
I may be incorrect then that it was signed. I recall the signature of Edward Klein, but I could be mistaken. It could be on the second one. Together with those documents was what's called the tracking log, which is how the building department tracks all the things that happen during the course of a permit. And on that tracking log, there were entries showing that the Klens' fees were doubled based on this allegation of failure to obtain a permit before building. And before I forget, I need to let the court know that there is a factual error in the reply brief. In the first paragraph of the reply brief, there is a statement on page 3 that the only offense Edward Klein was cited for was building without a permit, and that's incorrect. Along with each citation for building without a permit, there was a companion citation for failure to obey a stop work order. So I'd like to correct that. The fees then were doubled based on those things. The Klens, of course, presented all of that to the district attorney. And after the petition to require prosecution was filed, the district attorney responded, no fraud. And that was essentially his entire response to that allegation.
Counsel, let me ask you a question. In exercising judgment about whether to prosecute, how, if at all, can the prosecutor take into account what prejudice or harm the alleged victim suffered? And if they can take that into account, how is the prosecutor supposed to evaluate the fact that the building permit was issued here?
The harm, Your Honor, was $130,000 in fees. That would be the harm. Ultimately, the permit was issued, that's correct. But the harm was the doubling of fees and the criminal prosecution. And what made the criminal prosecution of Edward Klein possible was the substitution of the owner of record, which was on the first building application, Holstein Self Storage, with the name of Edward Klein and Edward Klein's license number. And then Edward Glenn was prosecuted rather than Holstein Storage, or perhaps the Diverse Construction, which was the actual contracting company.
Well, is the allegation here that the prosecution of Edward Glenn was somehow incorrect, or that the error here was that the prosecutor didn't prosecute the people in the building department?
The prosecutor, meaning Mr. Abramson in this case?
Yes.
That is the allegation. This isn't about the prosecution of Edward Glenn.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So what happened with that was that the district attorney essentially answered, I don't find fraud, or I don't think I can prove fraud, and left unanswered the other clear misconduct that had gone on here. And certainly what had happened was that there was an alteration of an official record, which we know is a criminal offense in the state of Colorado. We don't know precisely when or by whom because of the quality of the investigation, which was appallingly bad. None of the other possible charges, including official misconduct, and official misconduct is the misuse of the public trust by a public official in a way that he or she can do only because of that public trust, and that's clearly what happens in a case like this. Whether it did or not, we don't know. But it wasn't investigated, and the district attorney didn't look at it. And when the trial court looked at the district attorney's response, the trial court didn't question that. The trial court didn't say, okay, you're not going to prosecute murder because you don't find intent to kill or attempted murder, but there was clearly an attempt to commit an assault. So the review was not meaningful, and it wasn't a principled exercise of the court's discretion based on the facts then before it. Then with regard to the second incident, which was the trespass, the city officials apparently told the investigating officer in that case that their codes permitted them to do this. So appended to the petition for prosecution were those codes, which expressly forbid it. And that's clear. The only way that a building inspector can make a surprise inspection under the Loveland Municipal Code is with a warrant, permission, or a clear and present danger, which was never alleged here.
And is it your position that if an inspection occurs in violation of the building code, that that is necessarily a criminal trespass?
In this case, particularly because the building official who came onto the property to do it had previously been barred from the property for misconduct. And the Clens had advised the district attorney of that fact, and that's contained in the Clens sworn affidavit.
You say it was barred by the Clens or by some public official?
By the Clens. The Clens notified the building department that this misconduct had occurred on their property and that that inspector could not come back on the property, and the city never argued otherwise. So that in such a case, we see this all the time in school cases where a kid is told he can't come back to that school and does, and is charged with trespass.
Let me ask you a question. You say there's no dispute about the whether there was a violation of the building code. My understanding is that there was a separate lawsuit or separate proceeding that the Clens instituted, and that Judge Gilmore in another case ordered the city council to rule on.
Correct.
On that. Has that ruling, what's the status of that case?
The city council did rule that under some circumstances, the question presented to them was very narrow. Can a building official ever conduct an inspection without a warrant or permission? Unfortunately, the question wasn't well posed. They answered yes in some circumstances. That was the end of that.
And so has that been appealed, or is that now final?
It is final. The biggest problem with the trespass issue is that the district attorney never addressed it, and the district court never noticed. And how we could have a principled exercise of discretion when that issue doesn't even come up would be difficult to say, because it doesn't appear that anyone who was supposed to be exercising discretion here had a grasp on the facts. If they did, we're left ignorant of it, because there's no way to tell. And if I may reserve the balance of my time, thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court, good afternoon, judges, opposing counsel. My name is Sean McGill, my registration number is 26168, and I represent the appellee today, Larry Abrahamson, who is the district attorney of the 8th Judicial District. Through this appeal, the appellants seek to overturn the lower court's decision, as this panel knows, not to compel the district attorney to file charges against Loveland City employees. There were 8 city employees alleged to have committed criminal misconduct, including the city attorney, John Duvall, Richard Hoskinson, Cindy Wyreth, and Jeff McKee, and David Sprague, all building department employees, Christine Burns, another one, and the city manager, Don Williams. Essentially, this case is about the scope of a prosecutorial discretion. And there becomes a separation of powers issue as well that comes up, although that wasn't necessarily briefed, but there certainly is a flavor of that in this case. The questions, though, as presented were what constitutes an arbitrary and capricious decision not to prosecute on the part of the district attorney, and what constitutes an abuse of discretion by the lower court in deciding not to force that prosecution. The appellee's position is that these facts simply do not rise to these high standards. The case of the appellant's case is almost entirely rests on facts put forth by the appellants themselves as either their facts or as facts supposedly told to them, so by way of hearsay. They offer almost no evidence of the commission of a crime by any of these 8 city employees. The appellants provide no independent statements or affidavits that a crime was committed, no photographs. Just thinking outside of this particular case in terms of standards to apply to other cases, there are no photographs or other objective pieces of evidence that would show a commission of a crime.
Well, counsel, there's some kind of a report from an expert saying that there was a forgery. Isn't that another piece of evidence that's at least apparently independent?
It is. However, the documents that expert had to view were provided by the Klans. In other words, there was reference to Exhibits 13 and 14. Not both Exhibits 13 and 14 were in the building department files. One of them, and I can't remember which exhibit, was produced by the Klans.
Are you saying that citizens that approach a district attorney's office must be presumed to be unreliable with their complaints?
No, certainly not.
I thought that's what you seem to say when you say there's no evidence other than what they brought forward.
In order to, my belief is, well, my client's belief is that a reasonable investigation was performed in this case. They interviewed the Klans, they interviewed the building department, they sought other evidence. And the only evidence that turned up was the basically self-serving comments of the Klans. And I would agree that charges could be filed based solely on the allegations and the witnessing of the complaining party. However, here we're looking at something much beyond that. We're looking at forcing a prosecutor to make that case, to file that case.
Was there an investigation into the criminal trespass issue?
There was a complaint taken by a police officer, the Loveland police officer, and that information was given to the district attorney.
How do we know that? In the response, the prosecutor's response in the trial court, you've quoted that in several paragraphs. Where in there is there anything from which the trial court or we could infer that the DA even thought about or considered the trespass claim?
I think the court is accurate that there's nothing in the response to the petition for prosecution referencing the trespass claim per se.
So what was there before the court that would indicate that the DA's office did investigate that complaint?
Well, there was, I don't know that the DA's office investigated it. However, the investigation performed by the city's police department was given to the DA's office. There is no paper trail.
How do we know that?
Well, it's contained here in the record, and there's a police report, and it was.
What was the conclusion of that investigation?
The conclusion was that the motivation and credibility of the cleanse was at issue. And so any of these allegations that are brought forward of the, I believe there were some 18 or 21 different crimes alleged, basically all of those are tainted by the reasons for bringing the allegations and the credibility of the cleanse themselves.
But the DA doesn't say that with respect to the trespass claim in the response. That's what, I mean, even if you assume that they got this police report, I guess my question is, what is there in front of the district court and what is there in front of us that shows that the DA took all that into consideration and made a judgment based on credibility or whatever reasons they had that it was inappropriate to go forward with the trespass claim?
Well, there certainly is plenty of, there are plenty of reasons not to prosecute that trespass claim, including that it was de minimis, that there was no harm. The factors that are listed in the brief under the Sandoval and Farish case. So there are plenty of reasons not to prosecute that trespass.
Is that for us to say in the first instance?
I don't know that the level of review is such that the court needs to make that specific determination. Rather, is there enough in the record to support the district attorney's decision and the trial court's decision to not prosecute?
But where is the district attorney's decision? So that's what I'm still having trouble with. You may be right that after a district attorney looked at all the evidence, they'd have be perfectly justified in not prosecuting. I'm back at the beginning. Where's evidence that they even looked at that?
I see the concern. Prior to 2000, I think we would have been under a different analysis. But as the court's aware, 16-5-209 was amended in 2000, making the proceeding really informal, not requiring the DA to put forward a statement, not requiring a hearing, not requiring discovery. And so I think that shows that the legislature intended there to be great deference in a case like this. But in normal circumstances, with 99% of the statutes that this court analyzes, I could see where the court's coming from, but this, I think, is different.
Did the district attorney's office review the petition that was submitted by the cleanse?
Yes.
That contains the police report, and the police report concludes, one of the things they conclude is they were told by the city attorney that the inspection was permitted by the building code. Has the district attorney's office made a determination about whether that's correct or not?
Well, my understanding on the building code issue was that the Loveland building code allowed for these surprise inspections initially, and that once the difference between the Loveland building code and the universal code was brought to the city council's attention, then that was, the code was amended. That's my understanding of what happened.
The petition sets forth what purport to be the provisions from the Loveland Building Code, and they clearly do require notice, except under certain circumstances, which I don't think are present here. Was that taken into account?
I believe that would be the amended code. At the time, the district attorney was...
Is the older code part of the record?
Yes, because the cleanse complaint is part of the record. I couldn't point to a page, though. The court's questions also bring up another issue, which was addressed in my brief, that I think is important, and that is that the petition itself is very brief. As I recall, the petition doesn't cite laws that were alleged to be broken, for instance, the trespass.
Isn't that a matter of form, though? They've got an affidavit that, if anything, is too long, that sets forth the specific statutes that they think were violated. Clearly, I think they were intending to incorporate that into their petition.
If the court accepts that, then I agree. But if I were a judge reviewing the case, I would want a petition to state what relief is that it's being sought, what's being asked of me as a judge, instead of reviewing basically, it has the appearance of a pro se party writing the entire petition, and then an attorney sort of saying, we'd like you to look at this, instead of the attorney themselves thoroughly understanding and reviewing the affidavit, stating on the petition, here's what we'd like the court to consider in terms of charges and filing that. So it's...
So you're assuming that counsel did not review or draft the affidavit?
I'm not assuming that, but it has that appearance. I make no judgments of counsel, and perhaps they did thoroughly review everything, but it just seems that if the complaint is that the district attorney and the judge were not thorough enough and didn't spend enough time on this issue, it seems odd that the petition itself is so brief and simply references this sort of rambling affidavit. And again, it comes back to the 2000 amendments, what exactly is required under this new informal procedure. And I think that the judge did what was required, which was review the record, and perhaps knowing that it would go up to the Court of Appeals level, could have addressed the trespass. But again, I think it was up to the petitioners to raise that issue in the first instance and allow the DA to answer instead of sort of hiding it. The appellants do argue that the police department's investigation of the crime was flawed. They argue that others in the city building office should have been interviewed by law enforcement. By this appeal, the appellants seek to cure that. What they seek is what they term a full investigation of what happened and the facts. However, the court system, in my client's view, is not the appropriate avenue to seek this type of relief. Instead, when elected officials such as the city council and the law enforcement officer are not doing what they need to do, then the appropriate avenue for a citizen is to vote them out of office, or I'm certainly not stating that should happen, but there's a separate avenue for relief other than simply going to the judicial system. One can only imagine what would happen if alleged victims, in the absence of evidence other than their own statements, could petition a court for basically a full investigation. And I believe that's what's happening here is, it's instead of a petition for prosecution, it's more a petition for investigation. The petitioners would like a more thorough investigation of what happened so that the facts would then rise up. And I think that is a even more of a stretch to read 16.5209 as allowing that sort of relief. In other words, an investigation. As stated in my brief, and I see that my time is short, the appellants have every reason to fabricate a case against these 8 public servants. They've been embroiled in a controversy going back many years and involving all sorts of civil disputes. And at its heart, the district attorney and the trial court recognized that these victims of a crime supposedly are bringing these charges or attempting to bring these charges to gain advantage in a civil matter or a series of them. Thank you.
I think I can clear up the issue of the Loveland Municipal Code. The code under which this all took place was the same as the code that was submitted as part of the petition. What happened that council may be confused by is that after the trespass, the city of Loveland attempted to write in a section on building permit applications waiving all Fourth Amendment rights and all rights under the Loveland Municipal Code rather than changing the code. My clients went to the Construction Advisory Board, which is the first appellate body in Loveland, and sought a hearing to have that removed, and it was removed. So that's actually how the code changed. It changed after the fact, and it has now gone back to how it was originally. With regard to...
Council.
Yes.
Given that the application that your client's complaint is the original one was not signed, how could the city have acted on it anyway?
Well, as I understand it, and obviously I don't have firsthand knowledge of this, the way the building department was being operated at that time was pretty haphazard. And often construction was begun with permission without there even being a permit application in place. And that actually happened in a number of projects. So I can't answer
that. So that would have been in violation of the building code if someone began construction without having a permit?
It would be a technical violation, but it's also my understanding, although there is no support for this in the record, well, there is, I take it back, in the affidavit, that the building official regularly gave people permission to proceed while they were getting caught up with the paperwork. So
is that any more of a technical violation than a building inspector arriving on the scene without having given adequate notice?
Well, if the building official who's responsible for the permitting tells you that you can go ahead, I suppose that at least you're relying on a public official who's charged with the duty to oversee that. I think that would probably be a pretty defensible technical violation. So what happened in the trespass case, just to clarify that, is that a Loveland police officer, actually two, did some cursory investigation. The city attorney admitted that they had done this, but told the officer that the Loveland codes permitted it. The officer then presented that to the deputy district attorney, and the deputy district attorney said, okay, then no crime.
Has there been any civil actions brought based on the trespass and forgery claims?
Yes, there's one pending in federal court.
So let me ask you a question about the relief that you're requesting, because your counterpart seemed to distinguish between asking for an order, I guess, requiring prosecution here, and an order for a more full investigation by the police department. If we were to agree with you, what's the result that you want and you think you're entitled to under the law?
A remand to the district court, and I think under the circumstances for an evidentiary hearing, because the district attorney's response was insufficient. We're not asking for an investigation. I wouldn't know how to ask a court doesn't have the power to order that.
So what you're claiming was wrong here was that you didn't get an evidentiary hearing?
Under the circumstances, we should have been entitled to an evidentiary hearing. I'm fully aware that we're not automatically entitled to one, but if the district attorney's response is insufficient and does not satisfy what the court needs to have satisfied under such a petition, then an evidentiary hearing ought to happen.
But the statute doesn't even require the district attorney to file a response, does it?
No, it doesn't. But then the court would have been left with nothing but the evidence that was contained in the pleading, which shows that the officials complained of did these things, that those things violated the law, that they admitted doing those things would be utterly unrebutted. And so the court would have little...
Well, there's a lot of irregularities, so I wouldn't say they're utterly unrebutted.
For instance, that building department officials conducted an illegal search or a trespass, or there are a lot of ways to term it, but that under the codes that were before the court, that's clearly not permitted by law, and it would constitute a trespass. So the court,
you're saying a criminal trespass that the district attorney must prosecute?
I can't say the district attorney must prosecute it. He could have all sorts of reasons for not wanting to prosecute it or thinking it was unwise to prosecute it, but we wouldn't know what they are. So what we're asking for is simply a remand for an evidentiary hearing.
The reason for an evidentiary hearing, as opposed to, say, more findings by the trial court, would be what?
For the trial court to at least address the issue of why the district attorney doesn't mention the trespass, why the district attorney is exercising his discretion in a reasonable manner by not prosecuting that, not filing charges for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your arguments, counsel. The case will